The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
Who's working with Brian today?
Weird. I can barely hear Jeremy at all, and listening to John and Lance this morning, it's the same thing. The music and everything's really loud, and I can barely hear Jeremy.
Yeah, our mix is messed up. Who was I? I didn't hear him. Ryan? That's Ryan.
Ryan.
I
yeah, can you hear
see
me?
Him.
Yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah,
Ryan's in there.
Now. Okay. He was whispering sweet nothing. You know, we peel back the curtain a little bit. The producers will hop in our ear because us talent, you know, we can't count, and we don't know when we're on the air and our mic is on. They're like, hot. That way they let you know the mic is hot. So we don't say anything, you know, crude and hateful or anything that would get us canceled. And he whispered in my ear, I'm like, that's not Brian. That's not what I was expecting. Who is this sweet voice? I'm not used to having a sweet voice in my ear. I'm used to having Brian in my ear.
Brian's been overworked today, so he's taking a little time off.
I saw that I heard that he was working Paul's show.
He was.
So Mapes does not take off for his birthday. He takes off for the debut day of NCAA. Where is Mapes doing today?
He was doing the morning show. He was working early.
Oh, he worked earlier today.
Yeah.
So they shifted around the schedule. Mm-hmm. So he filled in. So who was off today then?
Lance.
Oh, okay. So
and Del moved
Del
in
worked
front.
With John, and Mapes did the morning show. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, Mapes is a gamer. Mapes is a grinder. I didn't think he would be off today. Unless NCAA 2 was out.
That's right. Then all bets are off.
See you next week.
That's right.
But he's Blank on Branham, Brian and Ryan, behind the glass, Friday edition of the Killer Bees, a getaway edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We'll get to a lot of stuff today. We'll play that stupid game, Who Said It? Brian's like, we got to get to this. I don't know why. Todd Callis will be joining us later. For some reason, Joe George is forcing his way onto our show today.
Yeah.
I think he even went into our rundown and put his time slot in there.
Well, I had notated it, but I did it in small letters because I wasn't sure it was like solidified with everybody, and I didn't know the time at first. And I thought one of you guys did it, where all of a sudden it just got moved up, bolded, and he was top of the list. I'm like, who did that?
Yeah. And then there's like a bio for him and like an intro. I didn't do it. You didn't do it.
Nope.
Brian was busy. Yeah, I think Joe went into the rundown and gave himself top billing. He put himself at the top of the marquee. He is the main event, and he's also going to be joining us for the Barrett Sports Media Conference, which I'm sure will go over so well with our listeners. I'm sure that's going to be a major hit.
Just as long as he learns and Brian doesn't have anything to say and or Ryan during that segment, because we know producers are not supposed to speak.
Now Dell has a show.
That's right.
Dell, you can't talk. Now Dell, here's Tyndon. But Joe's going to be on with us to learn about all the brilliance he has learned from Barrett Sports Media. I'm sure he's going to probably try to put some rules in place with the station, too, so I can't wait for that. A lot of Astro talk. A lot of today was rookie minicamp, Blankers. How much do you care about rookie minicamp?
Not a lot.
Yeah, that's about what I felt like, too. Like, I think it's cool, right? Like, you get to see them up close and in person. You get to hear them talk. They're wearing their jerseys and their jersey numbers, which Tank Dell wore a jersey during all of training camp whenever he was a rookie, and then he switched it whenever the number he want got cut. So these might not be their permanent jerseys. If you're looking to buy a jersey from one of these rookies, maybe wait until week one because there is a precedent that at times – guys will wait, and then they'll change their number right when the roster goes down to 53 because the guy who was wearing their number is no longer in the organization. So putting that out there. But, yeah, I don't think you can actually take anything of consequence. I think it's cool to hear them. I think it's cool to see them. I think that I like that aspect of it, mm-hmm. but you're not gaining any substantial knowledge at all.
We know that they can establish the triple threat position and look to get their jump shot off with mild defense. But other than that, there's not a lot. I mean,
you saw that?
Yeah. I mean, was that you? Funny. Did you tweet that? I mean,
yeah.
I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, so we're watching our new NFL players work on basketball moves with one another on the sideline. Cool. That's what I signed up for.
That was probably the only thing that could have been recorded, though. You know, they make them put their phones down as soon as they're doing anything that qualifies as above stretching. So maybe that was the only way to get him any actual footage, which I like that debate, by the way. I'm a big fan of that debate. Basketball players playing football, football players playing basketball. And I think it's silly to think anything else, that hoopers have more success in football than football players have success in hoops. I don't even know how it can be argued the other side.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I mostly agree with you. This is the Austin Rivers got so much run off of this when he started this whole thing. But look, I think that there's a few exceptions. There always is. There's exceptions to every rule. I think that, you know, when you look at it from a football perspective, you know, there are guys that played basketball at an extremely high level, Tony Gonzalez and Julius Peppers and guys like that. But from a basketball perspective, it's all hypothetical, because you see some of the guys that were like power forwards in college that have turned in. And there's been, again, a few exceptions, a few tight ends in the NFL that were power forwards in college basketball, but not nearly to the level, I'd say, of accomplishment.
Right?
Yeah.
And those are crossover guys. Like, to be crossover guys, you have to put in one bucket. Like, they could go either way. So, like, your crossover guys, you have Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow. You can throw Charlie Ward into the crossover bucket. Julius Peppers into the, you know, crossover bucket. And of those crossover players, all of them, with the exception of Charlie Ward, had more success playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, their Hall of Famers in that list.
Yeah.
Charlie Ward was an okay bench guy in the NBA. Like, it's not even an argument. And I always go back with the – so those are your crossover players that could have played professionally both ways, maybe. I don't think so. I don't think Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers, Tony Gonzalez could have played in the NBA. I don't think they could have come close of playing in the NBA. Then they go to the NFL and they're Hall of Famers. And then also, I like to look at it from, if you eliminate one sport off the face of the earth today, like if you eliminated basketball off the face of the earth today, how many NFL teams are calling how many basketball players to at least get an honest look to be on their team? And then if you do it vice versa, football, oh, concussions. Football is wiped off the face of the earth. How many NBA teams are calling how many NBA players? I'm not sure one NBA player gets called, or one NFL player gets called to play basketball.
You know, the one that everybody always
throws
out.
Now, I believe
there.
That there would be a lot of NBA players that get called to play football.
Yeah, I was going to say, the one name that always gets thrown out there to play, and the guy that thinks he can play football is LeBron.
I mean, LeBron would get a call or in his early days. Maybe not today.
Yeah, I was going to say. And in high school, he played football. But you think about it. Like, Iverson played quarterback in high school. Do we think that Allen Iverson would survive one big hit in the NFL? Because I don't. Like,
no.
Yeah, it's just such a totally different ball game that I do believe that you might get, you know, a couple of, like, really athletic bigs.
I don't know if you could count high school as crossover player, though.
No,
like,
and
to
I'm
me,
not.
You have to at least play, like, high D1 or D1 in general to be a crossover player. Like, I don't think you can go back to high school days. Like, everybody played multiple sports in high school that was a decent athlete.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Iverson supposedly was an All-State – not supposedly, I guess he was an All-State quarterback in football. But do I think that Allen Iverson, if the NBA shut down when he was in his heyday, would be an NFL player? I don't. I think LeBron, yes, he has all the tools. But I think LeBron even would have an awakening as to, you think that you can play physical basketball and you take contact. You have no idea what contact is until you play professional football, when guys are fighting for their paychecks and to put food on the table for their families and they are aggressive. You're going to find it's a totally different ballgame. And I think it is. It's very tough for me to believe that NBA players think, oh, I can play in the NFL. You don't have any clue how physical that game is.
Obviously, it's far more physical, but there's a lot of diva receivers that act like NFL, NBA guys. Like, they could catch the ball and then get down immediately so they don't take hits. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, not that LeBron would play receiver, but LeBron in his heyday would have gotten a call. Like, Amir Thompson would get a call. There's a lot of these athletic, you know, fours and fives that would have gotten a call. I don't think C.J. Stroud's getting a call.
No.
I don't think Nico Collins is getting a call to the Houston Rockets. I don't think there's a single Houston Texan that the Houston Rockets would call. I think there are several Houston Rockets that the Houston Texans would call. I think Amir Thompson would be one. Maybe I'm overselling multiple Houston Rockets. I think Amir would, and that might be it actually. But that's one.
You know what's intriguing? That's one. Big Steve in his heyday. Would someone?
Yeah, I don't know if he athletic enough to play tight end.
I think he's athletic. I do. I think that, you know, he in the NBA he doesn't look it because you have so many like slimmer guys that are running around all over the place. But from all that I've heard, I think he's a pretty athletic guy.
Is he big enough to play on the line? Like, if he bulked up? He's 6'11", 265. Like, if he bulked up, could he play tackle?
I mean, he'd have to put on, like, close to 80 pounds.
I don't think it that much. Like, if he's 265, like, what's the lightest you could play tackle? Maybe 330?
Maybe 330. 325, 330.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty close to it. Yeah, I mean, that's 70. Yeah, I'm arguing the margins here. I think he could do it, though. Like, if he just went nuts and tried to gain as much weight as possible, I think he could do that. But he doesn't try to do that because he has to try to keep his figure because he plays in the NBA and it's more up and down. Like, he's on that caveman diet. Like, he doesn't eat any carbs.
That's
like,
right.
You put a few carbs in Steven Adams, that dude's going to jack up to 330 pretty quick, I think.
I mean, I think that, again, when you're playing up and down the floor like he is, I don't think that he'd have a problem being agile. And he's got the toughness factor. It's just a matter of, like, if he can put the weight on and he can bulk up to be stronger than he already is, he definitely has the frame for it. I think that, and again, I think that because he's shown the athleticism, he can jump. I mean, he shows that, you know, he can turn laterally. I think someone would call him.
Yeah, this is why I don't think it's an argument. Like, there's so many, like, Caleb, you know who Caleb Lohner is?
Who?
It's a very, very, exactly. It's a very niche name. Caleb Lohner was a BYU basketball player. He transferred to Baylor, and then in his final year, he transferred to Utah. And in his final year, he picked up football for, like, the first time since Little League. And he literally got signed as an undrafted free agent in the NFL. Like, he couldn't cut it even as, like, a D1 basketball player, as a Big 12 basketball player. He goes to Utah. He caught, like, four touchdowns this year, got signed as an undrafted free agent, hadn't played football since Little League. That doesn't happen in the NBA. That happens all the times in the NFL because if you fit a certain, like, you know, size profile and then you have the athletic profile, you could be a tight end in the NFL. There's not that same profile athletic traits that work in the NBA. It's always such a silly argument.
Like Tyler and Conroe is saying, Iverson's from Newport News, Virginia. He's plenty tough. He paved the way for Michael Vick. Okay, there's one thing to say, he's plenty tough. He's also plenty small, and he's not really fit, you know, like built physically for the game of football on the NFL level. And I think it's a different kind of toughness to play in the NFL. And I think that he would not succeed in the NFL and he would struggle with that contact.
I mean, he would if he went straight from NBA to NFL. I don't think he was good enough to play in the NFL. Like, he was really good at Newport, you know, News Virginia, which is where Vic was from. And, like, they are some bad hombres there in that part of the country.
Watch the bowling alley. Yep.
He chose basketball and obviously was very good at basketball. I wouldn't consider him a crossover athlete, though. Like, to be a crossover athlete, in my opinion, you have to play Division I sports in both sports. So I wouldn't qualify Iverson as a crossover. I would qualify Peppers, Gates, Gonzalez, Charlie Ward. I would qualify those guys as crossovers. Even DeAndre Hopkins played D1 basketball. He played a few games at Clemson.
He did.
And what sport did he have the most success? He's not going to go to the NBA. We never would. Gerard Johnson, who's the quarterback's coach for A&M, he played in a few games his freshman year in basketball at A&M. He didn't really make it in the NFL because of injuries, but he got his sniff professionally in the NFL. Would have never done it in the NBA. It's not even an argument. It's silly to me that people argue the opposite.
Yeah,
it insults me.
I want to say that Michigan State had a few guys in the last couple of years that did both, played football and played basketball. But I tend to agree with you. I just think that, you know, it's easy to say it and verbalize it. It's another thing to do it, execute it, and be good enough to have a team go with you on it. And I think that it's disrespectful from both sports perspective, really, though, to just say it'd be so flippantly, yeah, I could do that. Like, you know, I don't know
Dylan
that you could.
Brooks. do. And I mean, I don't know if anybody, like, I don't know how many people are saying it. I'm sure some do. Brooks would be a nasty tight end. NBA players are the best athletes in the world. Tend to agree. Dallas spent a draft pick on Rico Gathers, who was a basketball player from Baylor, and he was a complete joke. Never even did a dang thing for them. He was supposed to be the exception to the crossover rule, and he turned out to be a wasted draft pick. Yeah, but where did he go professionally? He went professionally in football and not basketball. Do you think Shaq would have been a good tackle or guard? If Shaq would have committed to playing football like his freshman year in college, I have a tough time believing he would have been a failure in football.
I think you make Shaq a defensive tackle or, yeah, I just think.
That'd be nasty.
Oh, my goodness, he could do some damage.
And we're not having this conversation with the other way around. Like, how many players in the NFL are like, man, that guy had to have a chance to be really good in the NBA? Zero. Yeah. None of them. You're not looking at any NFL player and saying, man, if that guy played in the NBA, he could do some damage. None of them. In NBA, you look at Anthony Edwards. People are texting in, like, certain players that they would like to see get a crack at football. Russell Westbrook in his A-Day. We mentioned LeBron, Shaq in his A-Day. I mean, Akeem was unbelievably athletic for his size. Could you imagine him playing football in his A-Day? Mm-hmm. Like, certainly you'd have to get over the physicalness of the sport, but I think something that you learn as you play it. There are so many basketball players that we would be like, man, that would be exciting to see what that alternate reality would look like. We don't do that at all for football players crossing over into basketball.
What was the guy that played at a small school D1 basketball, and he's with the Colts the last couple of years as a tight end? It was a hyphenated name.
Yeah, it's Mo Alley Cox.
Alley Cox. Yeah, yeah. But you're right. Going the other way, like you talk about, oh, everybody says T.O. and everybody says Miles Garrett and Micah Parsons and the guys that have played in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. I don't care how athletic Terrell Owens is. I don't see Terrell Owens, no, playing in the NBA.
Like he would be like a good Canadian Basketball League player.
Maybe
he'd be okay in the G League. He would not crack it in the NBA. And he wasn't a great college basketball player. And he's not that big. Like, I mean, he's big, like wide, but he's not that tall. Like, where is he playing?
Is he a point guard?
He's 6'3".
In college at, what, Tennessee Chattanooga or something like that?
I think he did, yeah.
Did he? Okay,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure
that he did.
Okay.
I don't know how good he was there or how much he played there, but I'm pretty sure he did play at Chattanooga. Yeah, he's a fine basketball player for an NFL guy, but he ain't playing in the association. There's a ton of NBA guys who would get a chance to play in the league. And again, it's silly to argue the opposite. Miles Garrett is a dang good basketball player. I don't know enough about Miles Garrett as a basketball player. Like, he didn't play at A&M. What?
We have breaking news from the Astros. Hayden Wesneski is going to the injury list with right elbow discomfort.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if that was worth breaking up our conversation.
Okay. It's mostly because of the discomfort line.
Let's discuss that when we come back. What this means for the Astros, Logan Van Wy is taking his spot. Also, when we come back, because I don't know if that's going to carry 15 minutes, it's time to move Jose Altuve back to second base? (713) 780-3776 Busy show. Joe George, top of the marquee today. Todd Callis, he's going to have to play second fiddle to Joe George, but he will join us later. Who said it? And also maybe the reach of the century in Houston Sports Radio I saw yesterday. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Tech by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You can also watch us at ESPN Houston on YouTube. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
ESPN97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, Peyton Wisniewski landing on the injured list. Right elbow discomfort. That usually doesn't play well. Usually doesn't end well for pitchers. We should have probably had an idea of this. He went. He had that long layoff. He went from the 25th. Of April to May 6th before pitching in a game.
That's right, yeah.
Again, like they held him out forever. Probably should have seen this coming.
Yeah, probably I mean, to be fair, coming. If you go with the way Astros logic works with their releases, this means he might end up just with a crick in his neck and be okay.
Yeah, I don't think that usually how it plays out for the Astros.
Like, normally, if it's saying, a crick like in his neck, it turns into Tommy John surgery, so.
Right, but usually it's not good news when the Astros drop the discomfort thing. Usually it's the side of longer injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing to, it stinks. Like that. There's your take on the Hayden Wesneski elbow deal. Probably should have saw it coming. Set out from April 25th to May 6th. He had like a 13-day layoff between pitching and between games because they were like looking at his velo. They didn't love his velo. I thought he actually looked okay against Milwaukee. Like the velo was actually up. He had that long first inning, and I guess he didn't bounce back well. So time will tell with Hayden Wesneski.
Well, and then Arrigetti was at the Astros Wives fashion show with his thumb still heavily taped up, so I don't think he'll be walking through the door anytime soon. I guess it's gusto and no six-man rotation, and then hope to hell that Lance McCullers keeps getting stretched out and stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you're not surprised with the Arrigetti thing, though, right?
No. I mean, he's on pace to come back when they said 6 to 8 weeks.
No idea. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know if like how much we could gather from having his thumb taped. I have no clue. Yeah, I mean, hopefully Wesneski hopes major surgery or major news. Hopefully it's not a tear of the UCL. Hopefully it's just, okay, we didn't love the way he bounced back after not pitching in 13 days. Let's just place him on the IL. That way he's not taking up a roster spot. And then, you know, see where he's at in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, time will tell. But usually it does not bode well with the Astros, and usually it does not bode well whenever it's an elbow on a pitcher. It's always something bad. Now, if you were going to pick a starter that's currently in the Houston Astro rotation, which one would you want to land on the IL? And I don't mean to be like crass about it, but a lot of people would probably say Hayden Wesneski. He'd be in the conversation. Like, at least, as I try to be an optimist on Friday. I always try to be an optimist. At least it's not Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez,
right?
Knock on wood.
Right. Could it be Gusto would be the only other guy, right?
To take a spot in the you rather have Hurt?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I'd rather. Like, I think Wesneski's a better pitcher today, but Gusto, I think, has a higher upside and more of a future. So, I don't know. That's a good one. I don't want to put that on Twitter because people are going to come
No. out. No. Yeah.
Which guy would you rather see get Tommy John
Yeah,
surgery?
No. And then you're going to catch all kinds of all of that.
I mean, Ronel might be in the conversation. Like, would you rather Ronel Blanco miss 2 weeks or Hayden Wesneski miss 2 weeks? Say, I mean, we're looking best case scenario here. I guess maybe we should put the range on it. Would you rather Hayden Wesneski or Ronel Blanco miss 2 weeks to 2 years? Because that's the range when it comes to the Astros and arm injuries.
I think I still believe more in Blanco right now.
Yeah, I'd probably lean Blanco slightly. And I do think Wesneski's a better pitcher than Gusto is right now. Now, like, I do think that the Astros have some options here. Like, they just got back Lance McCullers, which he's going to fill out the rotation. Gusto's probably going to move back into the starting rotation. You know, Blue Ball had a start, didn't look good, but, like, you know, they still think highly of him. Colton Gordon's a guy who's on the 40-man roster who's actually been pitching pretty well. And then their top pitching prospect, I think, Miguel Ulua, however you say his name, he's been dominant his last two starts, but he's not on the 40-man roster. I think he's probably a year away. So the good news is you still have some organizational depth. I don't think that it's too big a drop-off with whoever's going to fill his spot in the rotation. You just don't want this to be long-term because we know that pitchers' injuries stack up, and you don't want to all of a sudden look up, you know, in mid-June and you have three pitchers on the IL. So hopefully it's short-term. If it is short-term, I think the Astros are just fine. But if it's long-term, it's like, uh-oh, we're losing more of our organizational depth as these weeks go on in the 2025 season.
Well, and like you said, I think that, you know, to be fair, in terms of the expectations that any fan would have, but particularly this fan base, normally when you hear something like that, it means that there's either more to it and or it's not going to be short-term. So you hope for the best, but I think you almost have been conditioned to expect the worst.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you were going to lose a guy, he's on the short list of guys that you would want to lose. You can handle the injury to Hayden Wesneski. What you worry about long term is you figure, and just the way baseball is and the attrition of the sport, that you're going to continue to lose arms as the season goes along. So That's kind of where I'm at with Wesneski, but hopefully it's short term. Astros lineup is out today, by the way, okay. And Cam Smith's not in the lineup. It's kind of interesting because Cam Smith didn't play the final game of the series in where were they at last? Detroit? No, they weren't in Detroit.
No, Milwaukee.
Where did they just finish the series? Milwaukee. That's right. I knew it was somewhere there in the lousy Midwest. But they were playing the final series in Milwaukee. They had the off day yesterday. Cam Smith didn't play in the finale. Obviously didn't play yesterday. There was an off day. And he's not playing today. And they're DHing Brendan Rodgers and playing Mauricio Dubon at second base. So, Cam Smith being on the bench is coming at the expense and the trade-off of having both Brendan Rodgers and Mauricio Dubon in the lineup. So, again, I ask you, like, why is Cam Smith on this team?
Well, what are we doing today? That's the worst thing. Just what you just said to me, it disgusts me. Like, how is he not in the lineup and those two guys are? Do we think that Brendan Rodgers is now a guy that has to be in the lineup every day? As the DH, we can't do better than that.
Like, obviously, they want a good second baseman defensively behind Hunter Brown because Hunter Brown's a ground ball pitcher. But pick one of them and like, use the DH job for Cam Smith that you're trying to groom and develop. Like, look, he needs to play. He needs to play. He shouldn't be sitting 3 days in a row of the course of a baseball season.
I completely agree.
Team, you got to play the guy.
And I understand, like, if DeCenzo's hot, then that's fine. But at the same time, even with the lineup that you just read me today – I literally, for the first time, maybe legitimately, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing if Cam Smith isn't in the lineup today and those two guys are? Like you said, both of them. Like, one of them, okay, yeah. I get it, but both of them?
Yeah. Yeah, one of them probably has to play when Hunter Brown's pitching, but both of them's pretty bizarre. And especially this part of the season where Cam Smith, because of the way the schedule is structured, is going to miss now three days in a row. 3 days in a row without playing baseball for Cam Smith, the young player that you want to see get as many at-bats as possible.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And he could accidentally run into one and hit a ball farther and has a better chance of hitting extra base hits than those guys. I understand Rodgers had a home run. But like I said, both of them? I believe that he would have a better chance to have some power, too. I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, interesting look from a spotter today. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the Altuve discussion. Is it time to move Jose Altuve back to second base? Mostly. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about OwnWell. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and cost. OwnWell is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but save you some money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it shouldn't be you. You guys are way too smart. The hive, the audience we have, you are far too intelligent and sophisticated to be paying too much on property taxes. But you also don't want to fight that battle on your own. It's daunting, it's challenging, it's stressful, it's time-consuming. Well, don't do that. Head to OwnWell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes, and get their experts fighting for you. Hire somebody to do it without even paying them money unless you save. That's right. They're going to work and do all this work for you with their cutting-edge technology that can potentially save you lots of money, and they're going to do it with no upfront cost. You're only going to pay if you save, and you can put that property tax savings back in your pocket, however you want to spend it, reinvest it, I don't care, do you. OwnWell handles it all from start to finish. They deliver top results, which we mentioned, no upfront cost, only pay if you save. You can't beat that because there's no risk and there's only all reward. OwnWell handles it all. They level the playing field, eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and I. 86% of OwnWell's customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. The deadline to protest May 15th, so do not run out of time. Save your money on property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start that protest today at OwnWell.com. OwnWell, OwnWell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Bomb. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Chad, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Chad, where are you?
Chad? You there, Chad? Hello, Chad.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, just touching basically, I was just commenting on the Cam Smith situation. I think there's probably more going on. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the expert, but there's got to be more going on because that guy's playing great. He's a young kid. He needs to be developed, but there's got to be something more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about because why wouldn't you be playing him?
Well, he's not playing great.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, why do you think he's playing great?
I mean, he's been getting he got hits, like, for, what, three or four games in a row there for a little while?
Yeah, he's got two hits. He's got two games where he's had a hit. He does have a hit in four of his last five, so I guess it's, like, trending in the right direction, but none of them have been multi-hit games. I mean, he's hitting 212. Like, he's not getting a ton of hits. Like, as an offensive player, he's been below average this year, and he should be. Like, he's a rookie. He's playing big league baseball at the highest level with five games above high A, with 20 plate appearances above high A. So, like, this is probably what we should have expected from Cam Smith. I'm not saying that Cam Smith's been a disappointment. I'm not saying he's behind the curve or anything like that, but there was a lot of curiosity, at the start of the season if he should be on the big league roster after having five games above high A and 20 plate appearances above high A. Dana Brown said he's so good that we have to do it, and that has not been the case. He has not been so good where it has justified the decision from Dana Brown.
And I think since then, when you saw the development of DeCenzo and the fact that he's been hitting the baseball, now you have an alternative that's also a younger player that may be more ready for it right now, and they need offense. So there you go.
Right. Well, that's the thing. He needs to be developed. Like, he needs to keep moving forward. And, you know, that's how you develop those players. You got to let them get those at-bats.
I hear you,
but
that's...
I mean, you can question on where those at-bats are. You can, I mean, whether they're at, you know, in Major League Baseball or Double A or Triple A. That's a part that I do agree with you, Chad, is that he should be getting regular at-bats. He shouldn't be going at 3 days in a row without at-bats all year, no matter where he's at, whether it's Houston, whether it's Sugar Land, whether it's Corpus, whether it's the moon, which is where we hope Cam Smith goes.
Well, and I also think that, Chad, the biggest thing is that you're not a baseball team that's like a bottom of the pack or you know, just a small market team that's just trying to improve. You're a team that's still trying to make the playoffs with legitimately hopes to go further than that. You need someone that can contribute to this team. You can't just let a kid take his lumps when he's not hitting the baseball.
Right. No, that's true. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can only do so much if you're not developing the player, and that's what, you know, a lot of teams do a good job of developing those players when they're young, and you have to take that risk, and it's kind of like a gamble. Well, okay, is that player going to develop and be a good player or not? Or are you going to go spend the money on a high-dollar player that may shit the bed anyway? Or, sorry, crap the bed. Anyway.
And, Chad, thanks for calling in. Have a good weekend. Whoops.
It's the radio I like. I like that kind of radio. Mm. You never know what you're going to get when it's the Killer Bees. Now, those aren't your only two options. Like, you don't have to either A, have Cam Smith in the bigs, B, spend big money to go find somebody else to take his spot. You could literally play Ben Gamble there or Zach DeCenzo there. Yeah. Like, it's a little different now because Jordan's hurt, but you had Jordan DHing Jose Altuve in left field, and Zach DeCenzo has been very underutilized because he's been sitting behind Cam Smith. So, like, those aren't the only two options. There's other ways there to do that as well. Multiple ways to cook the egg. 713-780-ESPN. Should the Astros be moving Jose Altuve back to second base most days? Nacho on Twitter, yes, we should consider moving Altuve back to second. I was open to trying this because, you know, he's not a very good defensive second baseman these days, but the offensive output trade-off has not been there. I'm still okay with him playing left field when Fromber and Brown pitch at home. This is where I'm at with this, too. I like the idea of Altuve in left field for defensive purposes. The problem is that this team isn't really built for Jose Altuve to play left field, and part of that is Dana Brown's fault. Because it's a little different when Jordan's not playing right now. But the best way to get your best bats into the lineup is with Jose Altuve playing second base. What you're getting right now between Brendan Rodgers and Mauricio Dubon, which both of them are in the lineup today, and I know that Rodgers homered over the road trip and like, hey, he's taking some good at-bats, and the Astros have a decision to make on him soon. They're getting nothing offensively at second base, where it makes sense to have Jose Altuve, who's also hadn't been great offensively, at second base. That way you can get your best offensive lineup out there. And if you're like, well, you have to have a good defensive second baseman when Hunter Brown's pitching, when Framber Valdez is pitching, okay, well, those are the 2 days where Jose Altuve can play left field or DH. Every other day, because of the way that this lineup and this roster is built, Jose Altuve back to the dirt.
See, prior to this conversation that we've been having over the last day or so about Cam Smith, my thought was, kind of going back to what we had heard, was they were trying to find a way to have both DeCenzo and Smith in the lineup because DeCenzo is hitting and because they did want to develop Cam and they wanted to give him every opportunity to succeed. And I thought, well, that would be the natural progression then to move Altuve back to second base. But now, even if Cam Smith is out, I know that I have guys that I believe in more. And maybe, like, we used to talk about Yiner and when he was catching that he would press more because there was so much pressure on the fact that he was struggling defensively. Maybe this has just all been too much on Altuve and he'll relax more at the plate if he's playing second base. I don't know, but I think that I agree with you. Aside from the ground ball pitchers and the two starts that they have, I think Altuve should go right back to second base, and I think you could be more productive offensively with whoever you put in the corner outfield positions.
Yeah. Now, the Yordan injury, like, throws a wrinkle in this. Mm-hmm. It kind of does make it tough, but, whenever you're at full health. Rackham Pete, it's time to put Altuve back at second and put Yordan in left as soon as he fishes up his PTO. You're not gaining or losing anything with the switch. My fear with playing Yordan in left, though, Rackham Pete, is that he's going to get hurt.
Yes.
So I'd rather just see him be your permanent DH. And if you're hell-bent on keeping Cam Smith on this roster, then DeCenzo and Cam are your corner outfielders.
Yeah, I just have that bad visual of him looking like he was running on ice last year in the gap, and thank God he didn't do anything more than what he did, but it sent a scare through everybody, as it should have, to say, okay, that's exactly why he's too valuable offensively to have in the outfield.
Agreed. Espada will be fired after the season. He's not a good manager, says a texter. The reason why Cam Smith is not in the lineup is because he is really not that good bottom line. Then he needs to be sent down. He shouldn't be sitting the bench on the major league team. If you're not going to play him, then he needs to be in the minors.
It's extremely hard.
Since Strawny left, nothing but pitching injuries.
Sorry, I was going to say it's extremely hard on a couple fronts. I think that it's unfair to say Espada should be fired when offensively he's got so many guys underproducing. If there were moves that Joe wasn't making, then I'd understand it. But if they do, he will be the fall guy from that front. But I know everybody's kind of already trying to press the panic button, but it's still early.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is when we said we're going to have the conversations, though.
No, what was the second part of the text on that one after Espada? You said the Espada one, and what was the one we were just talking about after that?
Since Strawny left, nothing but pitching injuries?
No, there was something else, but it's all right. I lost my train of thought after the Espada thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an Astro thing with the pitching injuries. I just think it's baseball. Everybody's chasing velo, everybody's chasing spin, and elbows are exploding across the league. It's not an Astros thing. Oh. It's an everybody thing.
Well,
it's
plus
MLB 19. It's a pandemic.
We mentioned with the pitch clock added to everything you said, and the fact that was it 33% of major league pitchers last year. 33% of the pitchers that were on major league rosters had arm problems. What's
Sheesh.
That? That's a lot.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh, the one I was going to comment on was when they chimed in and said Cam Smith's really not – he's really not that good. You can't make that determination for the rest of his career. Like, maybe right now he's struggling, but I'm not willing to sit there and say that you can just flippantly say he's probably not that good. I disagree.
No, I would say after – I do too. I would say after 96 plate appearances, I'm not sure that he's ready.
Totally fair.
After 96 plate appearances, he's a Major League Baseball, he's subpar, mm-hmm. but that's where he's supposed to be. He's a rookie. He's seen 20 plate appearances above high A. He was drafted last year. This time last year, he was in Tallahassee playing for Florida State, getting ready for the ACC tournament, which, again, is why I pin it more on Dana. I still think Cam's future is very bright, though. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for John. John, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, fellas, what's happening? Been a little while since I talked to y'all.
What's up, John?
Just chilling.
Hey, man, look, you know, honestly, all due respect, I think that's just Joey's father making them same stupid decision that he made last season. Cam Smith, number one, you know, you traded a lot to get him, and he was, from what I understand, he was the Cubs' number one pick. And he's been doing okay. DeCenzo been doing okay, but last season he did absolutely squat. And when he does strike out, he strikes out bad. I'm okay with him getting his few hits now, but I mean, I hope Joe Spino don't think just because all of a sudden DeCenzo is getting a few hits, let's crown him some kind of Babe Ruth or something. It don't work like that. 3 days off, and you guys started when you said Cam Smith had 3 days off. I really don't like that. He needs to get more playing time, play with DeCenzo, whatever, but he needs to get more playing time so we can see what he does have. And real quick, man, on this thing, these people been talking about what the Rockets should do. I don't like the idea of going and get a 35-year-old Kevin Durant and all that money. And I don't like the idea of getting Giannis because I don't want to give up Saddam. Check this out. Let me ask you this. I hadn't figured it all out yet because I hadn't Googled it. But from what I understand, the Rockets have like maybe two or three top picks from Phoenix. Go in the draft, trade one or two of those picks, trade Jalen Green, trade Cam, if you have to. What's his name? Cam Whitmore, because apparently the coach have a problem with him. I like Cam. But if you got to trade them for one, and one or two picks, go in the draft. See if the team that's getting the number one pick, see if they'll bite on that, because they'll still be getting one or two first-round picks, and then we go in there, get that boy from Duke, man.
Okie dokie. Thanks for the call. There was a lot there. Yeah. Covering multiple sports. Appreciate the call. We got interviews we got to get to. We're going to have to recap some of that later, I think.
Yeah, it's just Joe, though. Like, it's okay. Like, it's good to punt. Yeah, I mean, I would like Flag, but I don't think anybody that gets the number one pick is trading him. So you have to get super lucky. And then as far as Cam not playing, yeah, Cam hasn't been productive in his first 96 plate appearances, but if he's going to be on the big league team, he should absolutely be playing. Like, an occasional day off, cool. He shouldn't be missing two games in a row over a span of 3 days. That doesn't help his growth. All right, let's get to Joe. 713-780-3776. Joe George live from the Barrett's Sports Media Conference, sponsored by Portillo's. The great /S, Joe George, when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Let's go straight out to the HRNB guest line. We're going to be joined by Joe George, live from Barrett Sports Media Conference, sponsored by Portillo's. Joe, thank you for joining us. We are so very appreciative of you doing just that. What great stuff are you learning at the Barrett Sports Media Conference?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I mean, it's a great time. I mean, Chicago's got the Pope, so it's a fun time to be out here now. He's a White Sox fan, though, so he likes Jeff Blum.
So are you.
Apparently. Yeah, I know. That's your favorite joke in the world. Learned a lot. It's been really cool. We got some cool ideas that we're going to bring back to the station. A big one I want to do, just from what I was hearing guys talk about, is I want to do a 24-hour radiothon this year. So get ready, Jeremy, to be on the radio for 24 hours. Blank, you only got to do like 12. Try to raise some money for charity or something like that and do something cool this year.
Why do I only have to do 12, Joe?
You can do 20. I was being nice to you.
Oh.
I was being nice to you.
Well, what's...
You know, I heard what Jeremy said there with the slash S, so I was going to give you a 12-hour shift.
Oh,
Jeremy,
I appreciate that. Hey, Joe, this Pope thing, though, I meant to ask you about this because I got numerous Bear fans that are friends of mine, not you, but they were sending me this whole Pope thing. You really need divine intervention now as a city from a sports perspective just to have any kind of hope? Is that what we're at?
Yes, of course. You need divine intervention. I know the joke was that Chicago got a Pope before they got a 4,000 passing yard quarterback. Very original, especially the people that were stealing it while they were speaking at the conference, because that was happening. But, you know, it needs some help here, apparently.
Okay. I got a lot of Bears fans sending me that, and I'm like, if you've been owned for over 40 years by a team that you need the Pope to get involved, good luck to you.
I mean, look, we can't all be, you know, lucky to see winners all the time. You know, there's only been multiple, you know, curses in this town, and it's been a while since Michael retired, and need a real winner. I mean, the last one is hockey. It almost doesn't even count and feels like you need real winners in the city.
Some of the Twitchers want to know some of the ideas that you're learning, Joe, as the company pays for you to return home and go to a Cubs game at Wrigley other day.
Yeah,
some work trip that you're doing there.
I paid for my earlier flight so I could go to Wrigley. No, we're going to do the Radiothon. It's something that I really want to do. You know, there's this one group that was talking about this festival they did last year. I really want to kind of take something similar, call it like the Football Fest. Is one of the ideas I have, you know, have John and Lance do a panel, have, you know, maybe like, you know, you guys do one, have everyone do like these panels and stuff, bring in some special guests from the Texans. Cause you know, we need to be talking more football. That's like the number one thing we learned here is football is king. I don't know why we're talking about, you know, a below 200 hitter basically at this point in the season. You know, I heard what you guys are talking about, you know, football is always king. That's what we got to talk about.
So you're saying this is like day to day, like this is a daily thing where we're going to be required to talk football and Texans, like even in like in the middle of May.
Yeah, give me like a Texans
segment May?
At a minimum. I mean, they got new numbers and everything. Like, talk some football. There's things to talk about. They're there today for Nico's meeting with the media. Talk some football, JB.
We're going to talk football today, but you mean like over the summer and stuff, instead of like cool stuff, we're going to be talking about what does it look like for RB3 in 2025 and like daily NFL stuff?
I didn't say for 3 hours, but you got to give me at least one segment of football stuff.
Okay.
Did they tell you about like producers not talking and then the fact that when you don't, there's a good chance you end up with your own show at some point?
Yeah. I heard similar things. The producer conversation was interesting. It was a lot of negative things, I think, being said about producers. It made me appreciate the guys that I got, no matter how much or how little they talk, I would say.
Yeah, I just
we can all agree they're not talent, though, right?
Yeah. Just for you guys, I'll say that.
Until they are. Let's just be real there. So what are you going to Bears minicamp before you leave, too, just so that you can get all the bases covered?
No, I don't go to minicamp in here. It's freezing cold outside. I'm staying inside as much as possible.
Wait, time out. You're from there. Freezing cold? What's freezing cold?
It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years since I've been in Houston. Like, I've been in Houston for 10 years now. I'm soft now. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, I've been freezing since I got here.
Now?
I had a jacket.
Wait a minute. You got Cam as a trainer. You're not soft. What's the temperature that's too cold?
That's not the temperature. It's the wind. I forgot how terrible it was.
God.
I know I'm soft. I know. I can't ignore it. I'm disappointed with myself. I've been freezing all over because I didn't bring a jacket because I thought I could handle it. And I was wrong.
It's the Windy City. You know it better than anyone here besides Granado. You know what you're getting into, and you think you're soft, and then you don't pack a jacket?
No, I didn't think so. I didn't bring one. I thought I was going to be fine. I looked at the weather report. Apparently, I can't read that either. I didn't look at the wind index or whatever. I just looked at the temperature. I thought I'd be fine. I was wrong.
Okay.
Also, I know Twitchers. It's better than Granado. Granado abandoned his team. He's a Houstonian through and through. He doesn't care about the White Sox. Like, he's not like the Pope.
Yeah. Okay. King of Twitch says, ask Joe if Jason Barrett thinks Who Said It is a cool idea. I hope he said no.
I don't know. Was that his idea when you guys started that?
No, it was Brendan's idea.
Oh. Well, Brendan says hi, by the way.
I was going to say, did you catch up with him?
We spent a lot of time together the last 2 days, yes.
Brendan was there, too?
Yes. He works here.
What kind of nerds go to this Barrett Sports Media deal?
It's an interesting crowd, I'll put it that way. There was cool people there. Dave Tepper is also there, which is cool to catch up with him.
I do like Dave.
We had good conversations about you, actually, I would say. The Barstool probably panel was the most interesting of all of them because – you could tell there was people in the crowd who were not a fan, and the people who were up there to defend the company were not qualified to do it. So that was very interesting. But mostly nerds, I would say, is the way to do it.
So you're fitting right in?
Pretty safe.
Say again?
Are you fitting right in then?
I guess so. I mean, I'm out here for a reason. I'm out here to learn. I want to learn things. I want to make the station better, you know?
Chris says that Joe's going to run the station to the ground with football-only talk. This might have to be a conversation for off the air. I don't know. Every single day?
Yeah, just you guys, though. You don't talk enough about it.
Well, I know.
Oh.
Okay, well, it's only us. I know now you don't mean it. So either you mean it or you don't.
No, I mean, you know, it's just the Texans are king. We all know that. You know, new uniforms, trading Watson for Oilers jerseys, all that stuff. That's what we can talk about this summer.
I can't tell if you're being honest or not. I'm having a very difficult time. That would have been a good trade, though, by the way. How's it? I mean, Deshaun Watson would love to trade, or Cleveland would love to trade Deshaun Watson for the Oilers jerseys right now. They would be over the moon to do that right now.
That was actually like one conversation like that kept coming up with me and like these. I met a couple of guys from Cleveland, and they were just stop asking Watson questions. Like how much we knew, like what did we think when the trade happened? Like it just—that's all they wanted to talk about. Because like they, you know, I thought we were miserable talking about it, but these guys, like, they look like beaten. Like just the fact that like he's still on the team—that's all people want to talk about. I'm like, I'm so glad that's out of our lives. We don't ever have to discuss that guy again.
They have like eight quarterbacks. So, Joe, there's a Portillo's, a couple of exits from where I'm staying. I didn't realize it until I was coming home from dinner yesterday. I went to a little hamburger spot I was wanting to try in Phoenix. But tonight, after our game, I'm going to stop by Portillo's. I'm going to give myself a little Italian beef sausage combo. And I'm also going to get a side of a Chicago dog because I'm fat. And, of course, you're there because of Portillo's. What's your go-to Portillo order?
I go combo as well, but you guys said you're going to get a beef. So, like, here's what people need to know right now. We got three locations in Houston. We went to the one in Katy last week. Right now, it's buy one, get one free for the month for Italian beefs at Portillo's.
Really?
You got to download the app, sign up for the perks package. Any Portillo's you go to, it's buy one, get one free. So, you can get one, eat it later, bring it home to someone else from the team, anything you want to do. So that's my go-to. I go combo and then get the cheese fries as well.
So this is – do you know if it's active in Tempe? I'm going to download the app right now.
It should be. I mean, it's active in Houston, so it's active here. So I think it's Portillo's everywhere is doing it. So, yeah, get it wherever you can.
I'm going to try for the first time. I'm so excited. I've been meaning to try Portillo's for, like, the last 3 years, ever since The Bear was on TV. I'm like, I got to get me an Italian beef.
We got one
off of
99 in Fort Bend County. It's great.
Yeah.
They're all over the
place. Yeah, there's another one coming, too. They're opening another one soon. They're talking about a bunch of locations, actually. So there's going to be – all over
Chicago.
Is there
one coming to the Woodlands, maybe?
Yeah, up in the Woodlands.
One coming to the Woodlands.
And one off of 59 towards Stafford, I believe.
Yep, all those.
Off Larry and Stafford.
Either open or opening.
All right, Joe, we don't want you keeping Brendan waiting too long. I know you are waiting to go Lady and Tramp on a little Giordano's pizza.
We got to talk football.
I missed you guys, I guess.
Yeah. All right, see ya.
All right, see you guys.
That was Joe.
Yes, it was.
Joe.
I don't think he's
changed. Brian, hang up the phone, Joe. Joe just pulled the classic. I'm going to stay on the line to see if they say anything bad about me. He was already eavesdropping into the conversation whenever we teased him coming into the segment. You see that? He was eavesdropping on us as we teased him coming into the segment because he's so self-conscious about what we're going to say about him. Mm-hmm. And then he's staying on the line to see if we're going to say anything smart after we hang up with him. He stayed on the line. I think he's serious about that football thing.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is it mandated?
We'll find out when we
like it. Kinda.
When he gets back, if he sends one of his notorious emails, then we'll find out.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe has, I think, I would say, a short attention span, right? Like maybe if we just forget about it, he'll forget about it. I don't know, but he sounded kind of serious.
I'm gonna wait for a suit to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just not a suit.
Joe's kind of the mess, like the middleman between the suits upstairs and the shows. I'm gonna wait for the suits before I listen to that. The Twitchers are like, yeah, look what happened to the Wheelhouse. They talk nothing but football. See, that's my fear.
Boom. Yeah.
Like, that's...
Plus, all we got to do is just tell Granato not to... And see if John doesn't like it, we're fine. Because John's just... The Godfather's just going to go in there and go, yeah, just that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's... Okay. We're going to put down the back burner for now. See if it just goes away. All right, Rockets' biggest offseason questions. What are they? And trade scenarios exist. Do you like those? Do you like any of the 713-780-3776? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5. Of course, you love Two Creeks. Two Creeks is the best. You need to get out to Two Creeks. Two Creeks on Lake Livingston. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and the bustle. All the stressors, all the anxiety that you might be having. get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston and leave those thoughts in the past. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston's outstanding. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Get some rest and relaxation. And you can book your stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. I talk a lot about using it, your weekend plans to go to Two Creeks Crossing. Why not use some PTO in the middle of the week? Or maybe you work weekends and you're off like Monday and Tuesday. You can save 20% right now on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Thursday. A little midweek plan, Sunday nights through Thursday. You can save 20% on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Minimum of two nights, max of five nights. Me and the family are going up there here in a couple of weeks. Very much looking forward to it because open green spaces. It's fantastic. Wildlife that you don't see in the city. I like taking a look at some of the, you know, nature's beautiful beast. Also some majestic trees. I'm a sucker for a good oak. And some of the best fishing that you'll find in Texas. You can't beat it. Just 90 minutes from Lake from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's not even going to be enough time for your legs to get achy because it doesn't take that long to get there. Hike there 92-acre property, kayak, play some pickleball, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. Whatever your style, they have something for you. For glamping, to cabins, to tree houses. If you have an RV, just pull up that bad boy. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.